welcome to the ColbyCast episode 207. Thank you for joining us. Today, Bonnie and I are joined by Colby homeschooling mom and academic advisor, Elise Williams. Long before joining our academic advising team, Elise was homeschooling with Colby and helping others do the same. We're fortunate to be able to soak up some of this wisdom today and share it with you. We hope that you'll enjoy the show.
Hi there, I'm Bonnie, Colby homeschooling mom of four lads and lasses, liturgical musician, popcorn, and podcast fanatic.
And this is Stephen, homeschooling father of five and chief homeschooling officer for Colby Academy.
Happy Eclipse Day, Stephen. How's it going?
It's going well. Just as you started talking, I hear my big dog starting to bark. We've got a house full of people visiting for the eclipse. We're right in the main path here. So some Colby people, some friends, family, and with three dogs that aren't used to having anybody else around, it's a kind of an exciting time.
That's very fun. It's fun to mark the day and time that I didn't realize the magnitude of what the eclipse day would mean, really. Like, it's all about the eclipse today. And I wasn't really in that headspace when we were playing this. I'm going to take you back in time a little bit, listeners. So when I started out as a Colby mom, Colby has hosted parent webinars at the beginning of the school years where they would have some Colby parents come and kind of share their experience and take questions from families and so forth. And one of the ladies who would repeatedly be on these webinars is the lady we get to visit with today. She's a Colby mom and now a Colby advisor, Mrs. Elise Williams. Hi, Elise. Welcome to the ColbyCast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Bonnie and Stephen. I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm very excited to visit with you. I've been biding my time to get you here on the podcast. And so listeners may also recognize Elise either from their interactions with her as their advisor or from Colby virtual open houses that we've had. Without further ado, will you tell us about yourself and your background and all these Colby connections I've been hinting at?
All right. Awesome. I sure will. Thanks, Bonnie. All right. Like she said, my name is Elise Williams. I live in North Texas. So hopefully today I'll be able to see some of the eclipse as well. I am a Roman Catholic. I feel like a reverted one, though. A cradle Catholic, but I really started reading the children's Bible to my children, when they were little in the early 2000s, and it really made sense. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can finally put everything in order. Like, Abraham came before Isaac, and Isaac came before Jacob, and Jacob became before Joseph and Moses, and it started to make sense. So God was nudging me, you know, all along throughout that process. I've been married almost 31 years to my husband, John, and we have four children, three of whom have graduated from Colby and are in their careers or higher education. My last child will be a senior in the fall. So I registered him for the last time a couple of weeks ago, and this sort of bittersweet, but it's a good thing. It's all good. I was a registered nurse before they were born. So I have two degrees. I have a degree in health education and I have a degree in nursing as well. So they sort of go hand in hand. I like to read about theology and history and medicine. And I have recently in the last couple of years learned sourdough and baking, and I like doing all that. Now that with Colby, I have to figure out the timings of all of that. It makes it a little bit different with work, but I can still do bread. I started researching curriculums probably 20 years ago. I found a diocesan newspaper near where I live, and Colby was in there. And I remember that it was a picture of a young lady looking at a book or something, and it said, subsidiarity, this is your choice. Some other things, but I just remember that word, and I thought to myself, well, I don't even know what that word means, so I had to go look it up. And along with my reversion back to Catholicism and my journey and the fact that I wanted a specific type of education for my children, Colby just seemed like the way to go. And so I did some more research, and we were coming from a private Catholic school environment. And I just fell in love with the literature program. You know, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, if my kids can read this stuff, because, you know, you look at the elementary school curriculum in the middle school, and then you get to high school and you're thinking, how are they going to do all of that? And it's really It begins at the beginning. It begins in elementary school. It begins little, and it's little by little, and it's inch by inch, and it's so it's insidious almost how it occurs. And by the time they get to their senior year, they are doing that what you wanted them in the beginning. And so that was one reason why we chose Colby so many years ago. And we used the Colby curriculum in the traditional homeschool format because at that time there wasn't an online program. And so I can remember getting the big box that Nancy would send and with all the books and all the paper, you know, course plans, thinking, what have I gotten myself into? You know, I can remember in the beginning, I thought I had to rewrite all that stuff out. I didn't realize that you got a new one of those every year that you enrolled.
Yeah.
You get new course plans every year. I thought, oh my goodness, well, I'm going to need this course plan for my next kid who's 2 years, you know, younger. So I'm going to keep this course plan. It's going to be all nice and neat. I'm going to rewrite all this stuff. Oh my goodness. That was such a waste of time, but I learned. I mean, you learn, you know, so at any rate, so we used it in the traditional homeschool format. And then in 2013, the school was, I think they sent an email saying, this is something we're thinking about. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's so great. How wonderful and providential. I mean, God is taking care of me. I had no idea how I was going to do geometry, how I was going to do trig or calculus or Greek literature. I mean, I saw Greek literature and Greek history. I had a public school education. I didn't have any of this classical kind of thing, never read any of this stuff. And I thought to myself, you know, how am I going to teach these things to my kids? Because I don't even have this stuff. And lo and behold, the online program started. And so that first year, my son took three and he did three with me. And then the next year I asked him, I said, do you want to do all online? And luckily all the things that we needed were online by that time. And he said, yes, I don't want you to teach me anymore. And so, I mean, I still, you know, kept an eye on, you know, grammar and content and papers and looking at things and doing, you know, outside fine arts and PE and those kinds of things. But the main bulk of his education was the online education. So each kid successively started with an online class in the seventh grade, because at the time there was no elementary and there was no middle school. And truthfully, if I had, I don't know, that would be an interesting question to ask others. You know, how do they decide what which route they wanted to go? Do they want to do traditional? Do they want to do online? For us, I enjoyed that one-on-one contact, that time with my child in the beginning years, so that I could learn, you know, how does this child learn? How does this child, is auditory, kinesthetic, visual, you know? And so I understood his strengths, his or her strengths and weaknesses better by the time they got to the online program. So for that, that's how it worked for us. So basically, once they got to the high school, they did all online. They took a self-paced class here or there. Two of my kids did. So we've used various degrees of everything. Yeah, it's been a wild ride. It's been an intense ride. It's hard to believe that it's coming to a close in another year, which is amazing to me. So at any rate, which is sort of how it, you know, sort of morphed into my advisor role here at Colby. I knew that, you know, our homeschooling life as a family, you know, the homeschooling part of it was dwindling, is coming to an end. I only have one left at home and he doesn't need me, you know, day in and day out for schooling. Now we talk about scheduling. We talk about timing. We talk about what's the most important thing. We do that every day. We usually make a time to check in with each other about, you know, what he maybe needs to do. You know, he might bounce something off of me, you know, should I wait to do this or should I go ahead and do, you know, so I still have an idea of what's going on with him, but he doesn't need me day in and day out like they did when they were little. And so I thought, well, you know, I don't have a zillion dollars and I don't have a money tree, which I'd love to have. We all would. But what I do have is my time. And so my time is valuable. And my favorite thing is to talk to parents, especially those who are just starting their journey. And so I thought, well, you know, how can I best, you know, what does God want me to do? What does he want me to do with this knowledge, this experience that he's given me over the last 15 years? And it kept coming back to helping other families, helping, you know, Colby families. And so the job opportunity came up. And so I interviewed, and it all, I mean, it's just been a wonderful process. And my favorite thing is when I get a phone call and I can talk to someone and tell them it's going to be okay. You know, you're going to be all right. God's given you this time to do this. And so it re-energizes me as well. And so it's been a seamless sort of transition. I mean, I haven't worked, you know, for a paycheck in the last 25 years until, you know, starting a couple of months ago. But it does seem, it seems sort of seamless. I don't feel like I'm actually working when I do go to work, because I am here at home. If my son does need me, you know, I'm right there. In fact, we just went on a college visit the other day. And so I was able to work a little bit, you know, more on certain days so that I could have off with him. So it's been a seamless transition.
Yeah. You're certainly well suited to it. You know, you've done it all. Sounds like all the various offerings that Colby has. You've been around for a long time. You've been through it yourself. Certainly ideal person for helping other families.
Well, you're sweet. It's been a privilege of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, God gives you those beautiful souls to care for, and they're each unique in their own way.
Yeah.
And what better way to influence the culture by learning yourself and learning with them and help molding them with the things that you learn. Teacher manuals are your friend. And so I would say, you know, while I was trying to teach them, of course, I'd be sometimes looking at the teacher manual because I needed to know what the correct answer was, you know, to teach them. I didn't want to teach them wrong. But usually what would happen is I start reading that and then I keep reading, you know, like the Faith and Life series of the St. Ignatius Press, of all the, you know, Jesus Our Life series in the elementary school. They're all beautifully organized the same way. Each year gets successively more in depth and, you know, more into the faith. And I would sit and read that for minutes at a time. I mean, you know, pick and choose when I was able to read them, but that's how I learned my faith. So I'm learning right along with them. I learned how to diagram sentences with them because I never learned it in school. It's been a beautiful thing. And it's been a tremendous gift. I don't want to make it sound like it's been easy, because it is not easy, but anything that is worth doing is usually difficult. Why? Because we're prideful creatures. We're prideful human beings, and it's hard to learn. A lot of times we think we know how to do it, and we don't.
My wife deals with most of the heavy lifting with homeschooling, but I'm constantly impressed by how she's always working to try to, like you were saying, to try to figure out that, like, why is this not clicking? What needs to be changed? And, you know, this child is so different than this child and all of that. And I just get to largely deal with the fruits of all of her labor and think, this is so great. My kids come and talk to me and we have great conversations, and I get inspired to learn by their interests and like what, or the reverse of that. But yeah, that main role, I'm always impressed that you homeschooling moms who kind of take on the daily burden. That's a great gift to the kids and to husbands and I guess to themselves. I guess to yourself.
You're sweet to say that. It's everyone working in tandem. It's everyone working for a common goal. And so I think that's important, especially as you start your homeschooling process. What do you want out of this? What is the family's goal for this? We didn't ask those questions of ourselves right in the beginning. We just knew we wanted to do it because we wanted to take them out of the environment they were in. But we didn't really think of, on the opposite side, what are we wanting for this, for them? What are we wanting for our entire family? And we know when you're home with each other all the time, you learn the idiosyncrasies of each individual in that family. You learn their strengths and weaknesses. You learn how to work as a unit, as a whole. And so everyone brings to the table a different role. And I think God uses us that way, especially to further his kingdom, but to grow as a family, because there will be a time when everyone does leave and the couple is there again by themselves. And that's where my husband and I are going to be very soon. But yet our children enjoy coming home. We sit around and we converse and we talk. And if we hadn't had homeschooled, we wouldn't have the relationships that we have. And that in itself is a gift. So, you know, if you're struggling with third grade math or sixth grade math or 10th grade math, you know, there's a bigger picture to be seen. And yes, the little stuff, the little hardships, they're there. But sometimes you have to step outside and you have to look at the big picture. Why are we doing this? What do we want for our children, our family? Faith was really important to us. And that's the one thing about Colby, that Catholicism is infused everywhere in science and math, especially in the humanities. And so they learn to look at the world through a Catholic lens. And so when the world pulls on them, and it will, they're able better to withstand those winds. And that, I think, is one of the most important things with homeschooling, but especially with Colby. I don't have any other experience with any other curriculum. We've only used Colby. You know, you do have the time to sit with your children. I do have the time to think about, well, why isn't this child getting this? And we learned that one of our children had dyslexia. And so we went about necessary, steps to help him. And this was before Colby had those resources. So now Colby has those resources in the house. And it just makes it so much more cohesive because you've got all these teachers, you have all these resource people, knowing what your family needs and knowing how to put them in touch with the right person that can give them the help that they need. Colby's like a one-stop shop.
Yeah, we've only been with Colby now for 3 years. So you've been with Colby longer than we have. But I'm really amazed. I mean, the depth of the curriculum and everything is fantastic. But again, there's so many things here. I love my kids' experience with Colby so far. And they seem like they're so prepared. I mean, already I was thinking as you were talking, like, yeah, right now there's lots of nights where I'm thinking I need to get a good night's sleep. I'm going to go to bed early. And then I look at the clock and it's like, oh, I spent 2 hours talking with my son about all these interesting things and I'm not going to get as much sleep, or my daughter. And it's like, okay, this is not the public school experience that I had growing up.
Right.
But I just see they're so prepared. Like I know they can talk with adults perfectly well and they're disciplined. Now I know when they go off to college, they've basically had a college experience kind of with Colby. They've been self-moving. So they're ready. They're ready to do it.
The three older children that I have had no problems transitioning from academics with Colby to academics with college. It's never too early to start thinking about high school when you've got a fifth and sixth grader. It's not, you don't want to get, you know, bogged down in the anxiety of all the different minutiae of all the different classes you can take and all that kind of thing. You don't want to be anxious. You just want to be aware. So when you have a fifth or sixth grader, seventh grader, you want to do a really good reconnaissance job of looking at the website of Colby. Just start looking at the different kinds of maths and the different kinds of science and research the different tracks that Colby has on. Colby has one diploma, but they have the minimum required track and the recommended track. You know, if you're going into a four-year kind of college. And so I always say that, you know, information is key. Information is your friend. And so being anxious about high school isn't going to help anyone, but, you know, having in the back of your mind, these are the kinds of things I'm thinking about. These are the kinds of things I want, you know, for my student. Always doing things a little bit early rather than later is always a great idea. But in high school, I like to say there's a fine line with everything. There's a fine line of letting them swim. And then there's a fine line with you catching them because they're going to forget things. They don't have the brain that we do. Yes, I know they might be 6 feet tall and look like a grown man and shave, but that doesn't mean their brain is like a 30-year-old man that, you know, thinks, you know, ahead. And you got to take what their bodies look like with a grain of salt. And every year is different in high school and every child is different and what worked for one might not work for another. But what you're doing in high school is you're teaching them how to self-advocate. by planning, by time management, by learning how to email their teachers in a polite way, by having them ask themselves, what's the most important thing that I need to get done every day? Having that running dialogue with themselves, you know, can pay dividends in the long run, because none of this happens overnight. You know, a child just doesn't wake up as a freshman in high school and say, okay, I know I've got to read 6 chapters of the Iliad today, and I'm going to do all of them because they're all due tomorrow. You know, nah, that's probably not the best.
Maybe once.
You know, maybe what they do that once and they realize I can never do that again. And of course, as we all know, experience is the best teacher, but preparation, time, you know, those are all good things to remember as high schoolers. College test prep, assessment tests for strengths, it doesn't have anything to do with knowledge education. It's how God made you innately. And those kinds of things are things you want to start thinking about at the beginning of high school, because you're going to have to guide your child to a type of major, a type of college, all of those kinds of things.
I'm wondering if you could take us back a bit to when everybody was offline and younger and you are managing all that. What are your memories of that? What did that, it's probably an amalgamation now of multiple years of that, but do you have a kind
it
of
is.
A.
Okay. Well, let's see, the last year that everybody was at home with no online schooling was 11 years ago.
Okay.
that was the spring of 2013. We started our days early, and in those days, usually I would wake them up and have breakfast ready by the time that they started school. The older ones were in, you know, 6th and 8th grade at that time, and they could really do things more on their own. I was more with the younger ones at that time. They were probably in 1st and 3rd at that time. And so I really spent a lot of my time with them more than I did with the older ones. However, as they got into high school, we usually would awake around 6:30. I would be doing breakfast while we were doing schoolwork already, because their classes didn't start till 7:30 or 8. So they might have an hour and a half before school starts. My two older ones did not like doing anything after like 5 or 5:30 in the evening. They were done. They're like, this is ridiculous. This is my time. I don't want to go fishing, or I want to do something else. My student now, he rather would take longer breaks during the day. I mean, not that he takes a ton of breaks, but he doesn't mind doing a little bit of work in the evening. So we spent the greater part of a day, usually 7 to 5, 5. Now the younger ones never went that long. They ended shorter, but it gave the older ones an opportunity to say, okay, I have mom for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And in fact, they would stack all their books up at the end of my desk and they say, okay, mom, all this stuff's ready for grading. You know, so I have 4 stacks of kids with grading for me to do every day so that I could get it back to them. So there with mom time was me, okay, saying, okay, this was great, this isn't great, you need to work on this. And so they would learn that was the time that they could ask me questions, that they had me to themselves. And it was one-on-one. And that gave the younger ones time to either go outside and play, or maybe they'd watch a video, or maybe they'd be coloring, but they couldn't interrupt us because it was mom and whoever's time. And of course, not every day worked wonderfully, but you know, the time would stretch out as they got older to realize that they had to be patient and let the older ones have some time with mom, you know, instead of the younger. But most of the time, mayhem would ensue close to lunchtime. And if someone takes a break, everybody takes a break, no matter what age kid you have, even 17-year-olds, you know, they can act goofy too. Right. So we weren't too incredibly busy outside of school. With 4 kids, my husband worked 40, 45 hours a week away, you know, sometimes he would be out of town. And so it was me, before the older ones could drive, it was me taking to, you know, practices and whatnot. And so our thing was, is that one kid could have one activity a semester. That may seem a little bit harsh because every kid should be involved in something. However, for our family, it was just, they loved being outside and playing and not having anything to do, anything that they had to go do. So if someone said, hey, I want to play soccer, then that kid got to go play soccer and we would support that child. And when soccer was over the next semester, if someone said, hey, I want to do piano lessons, then that's, you know, we took them to piano lessons and we go to their concerts and, you know, we supported that child. So it was never a, okay, each kid gets something and we have to go four different places at four different times. And I personally couldn't do that. And truthfully, it worked out because it was the older ones sort of wanting to do things and the younger ones sort of wanted to be at home. And then as the older ones got older and left, or they could stay home with the child, you know, with other children while I took somebody else because they were old enough to stay home and they could drive. It worked out that way. One standout memory I have of Colby is two things, really. One year, one of my sons wanted to get all his school done in one day for the week. So he did. So he's like, okay, I'm going to look at every single course. I'm going to look at everything. I'm going to do everything in one day. So it took him about 4 hours and he did everything. And I know this was third grade. But the next 4 days of the week, he was busy doing whatever he wanted to do. If he was outside, digging in the dirt or whatever. And so all the other kids were like, wow. You know, I want to do that too, you know, so that's one standout memory. Everybody remembers that. The second one is in 2016, my two olders were at World Youth Day in Poland, and they were walking down a sidewalk with a whole bunch of other kids. They were going to St. Faustina's Convent, and somebody came up to my second son, came up and tapped him on the shoulder and said, you're in my class at Colby. And he looked at her name tag and she looked at his, and he said, oh my goodness, you're in my such and such. I don't remember what class it was, but here they are a continent away and they know each other. And it's just so beautiful memory.
That's neat. So then as they got older and they were more online, what are your memories of what kind of what your role was? How did those days look when they were more into high school and it was less of you, like the one-on-one?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, one of the most wonderful things that I used to say to them, and I still do because one of them is still in school. I'm like, I am not your teacher. If you have a question, you have to ask your teacher. And they're like, oh, you know, and they just, they hem and haw and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm like, you know, this isn't a brick and mortar school. They can't see your face all. I mean, they can see their face, you know, when they want to, you know, and they put up the screen and everything, but they can't see your face all the time. So they don't know if you're looking at them, you know, with a furrowed brow or you're like, oh yeah, I got this. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a wonderful, you know, the online education is a wonderful way, like I said earlier, for them to learn how to advocate for themselves. So, you know, I tell them, if you don't understand, get on your email and, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, Miss Dr. So-and-so, I really need some help. I'm struggling with this concept. I said, those teachers love to get those emails because it helps them understand, are these kids really learning something? Do they really, are they paying attention? Do they really get what I'm trying to say? Do they get the breadth of all this really cool, awesome stuff? And if, and there's no way for them to really know that unless the students email them. So that's my first and foremost thing about, having them learn how to add. And I mean, and it's sort of a sneaky way to get them to be responsible. You know, it's that little by little, inch by inch thing. So I was more hands off because I wasn't teaching them. Once that knowledge is in your brain, no one can take it away from you. It's there. Now, you might forget things here and there, but when you read something and they're talking about Herodotus or they're talking about Eusebius or whatnot, you recall back when you had to learn that. You may not remember all the intricacies of it, but you remember the struggle and you remember that you triumphed over it. And I remember, I think in the AP class, in the AP Lit class with Mrs. Crawford, they read Man's Search for Meaning. I want to say they do. And two of my students took AP Lit, so they did read it. My third one, my oldest, did not take AP Lit, but he read Man's Search for Meaning in college. And we were all sitting around talking about it one day. The oldest one said, he's like, Mom, you know, they took everything from him. He was in a concentration camp. He didn't, I mean, he's naked. He has nothing. He's literally nothing to call his own. And he has nothing. I mean, he's humiliated. He said, and yet, he had what was in his brain. And so that's something that I always remember about all the struggle of high school, because it is a struggle. And you and I and Stephen, we all know as adults that all of this is really preparing them for the journey that lies ahead. And so part of me, you know, so part of me wonders, okay, is this all really good? Is, you know, making them do, you know, such an intense curriculum now, is it the best thing for them? And because I have the experience that I do with the years that I have, I believe it is. I believe it's worth it. Because right now their brains are sponges. They are just ready to learn, and they rise to the level of expectation. You know, the understanding is that that was what was required of them, and they did it.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm always amazed. Well, I'm amazed because although we were homeschooling, when my first children were doing, I was looking over those Colby courses and thinking, oh my, this is what I read my first year in college, you know,
right.
This, and they're tackling it kind of at the same pace here. How are they going to do that? And it was a struggle, especially at the beginning. But as I watched my son go through that and learn, okay, I have to plan ahead. I have to break up this reading. I have to do these things in order to get
right.
to this end point. I'm just like, he can do it. He can actually, if this can be done. And
yes.
Yeah.
And then the quality of, I mean, just yesterday, we had people over with waiting for the eclipse to happen today. And we're talking about the relationship of husband and wife. And there'd been some conflicts or some things that somebody was, but we were going back to the Odyssey. You know, here's what the ancient Greeks even viewed and seen that virtue and how they even viewed this natural relationship before the incarnation, you know? And
right.
So these really wonderful texts that give you this like expansive knowledge, I mean, of things is, it's just beautiful material for them to be working on, and they can do it and they benefit from it. So.
Right. They're not going to read the Federalist Papers when they're in seventh grade, but they're going to read Cricket in Times Square in the fourth grade. And they're going to fall in love with a story. They're going to fall in love with that in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grades. All four of my kids have said how wonderful the Iliad is. They so enjoy it. That's one of their favorite books. I mean, and it's a story, and they could not have gotten there if they wouldn't have had, you know, the Catholic National Reader in elementary school, or if they wouldn't have had the Hobbit in fourth or fifth grade, if they wouldn't have had those things, if they wouldn't have, you know, have had Herodotus in the ninth grade, they wouldn't be getting to the Federalist Papers in the 12th grade. And so it's the totality of the classical education that builds year by year. It's the beauty of God in the mind of a student, of a person. And when you're stuck in the middle of it and your oldest is in sixth grade and you're thinking, how in the world am I going to get to 12th grade? It's so hard to see that. Have faith and trust and know that those little decisions that you make day in and day out are going to get you to the goal that you want. And, you know, if you would have told me that 11 years ago when we're starting, you know, high school on the online program, I don't know if I would have believed you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't have a lot of homeschooling families in the beginning that I knew when I started. You know, sometimes you feel really alone and you're wondering, you know, is this the right thing? Am I doing this? And now that Colby is growing and the community is growing, it's there. And there are so many like-minded parents. I see them when we're at the open house, you know, which is wonderful. There's an army of us that want a certain type of education for our children, and we're out there. It's a little more difficult to see because we're all on these box things that we're looking at, you know, these computers, but there's real people, flesh and blood people that are doing the exact same thing you're doing. They're in the trenches right now, working hard, you know, cleaning floors, cleaning kitchen tables, because you got to eat lunch again in 4 hours. And I mean, we're all working to the goal of forming our children, you know, with the correct knowledge through the lens of Catholicism.
It's always very exciting. I've been able to go to two graduations now. It's just interesting because even though Colby families often don't have a ton of Colby families around them, there's just such a common, well, like you were just saying, a common end and a common experience that everybody has. So you really are part of this community, even though you don't get to see a whole lot of people that are, but when you do get to, it's just like you can jump right into it because the kids have read the same books. And parents are making the same journey together, but just not always aware
right.
of
everything. I agree. And if you can somehow get to graduation at the end, I would totally recommend doing that. The first graduation we had, it was online. The second one, my son wasn't completely interested in going. I wish I would have been more forceful with him about that. My third child really, really wanted to go. And so we did. And it was wonderful seeing all these people we've seen for, you know, years and years, meeting parents and my sons shaking hands with people that they've seen online, you know, through a computer screen. But yes, you're, it is a community. It is real. You don't get to see them all the time, of course, but they're out there and we're all working towards one goal. And that is providing our children and the next generation with the tools that they need to continue to further the kingdom of God on earth is really what it's all about.
Equipping them for things they have no idea they are coming in one way or another.
They have no idea. Yeah. That's exactly right. That they have no idea that are coming. That's true.
Well, going back to that whole, we have to eat again in a few hours. I'd love to get your thoughts on some of the things that go along with the day-to-day of homeschooling. So what are your thoughts on balancing homeschooling with your other obligations and interests?
I love to read. And so that to me is a priority. So if my kids are busy doing stuff, you know, by themselves, then I might take 10 or 15 minutes and read a little bit, or I might meditate a bit, or I might do a little bit of my rosary or whatnot. Or I might go clean a bathroom, you know, anything that I can, benefit, you know, use that time while they're doing something else. It's definitely more difficult the more children you have and the more little people that you have. Getting them involved in whatever it is you're doing was really important for me. Like if the six-year-old needed to do something and the three-year-old was busy making a mess, then that three-year-old would come with me and start doing laundry with me or setting the table or drying something or feeding the cat. Or, you know, a lot of times when one was in kindergarten or first grade and one was a toddler, that toddler did whatever the kindergartner did. I would make copies, you know, ahead of time so that he would be coloring or whatnot when the kindergartner was doing her work. And if I was prepared, the day would go better. Like I said, the balancing of extracurricular activities, luckily our church, our CCD, our youth group programs, those were always on the weekend, which was nice because I didn't have to finagle doing all that stuff during the week. So truthfully, that was a very big godsend for me. I don't know how I would have been able to do it. It would have been more difficult. And that's where you as a family have to decide, you know, what's the most important thing? What things can we let fall? A lot of people are keeping up with the Joneses, and if they're in two or three different things, then I've got to be in two or three different things too. And if you've come to this decision about homeschooling, you're not really thinking about what other people are saying because yeah. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. I mean, after you see how your children thrive in the environment, whatever environment that looks like for your family, then you're much more confident to say, you know, we don't have to do everything that everybody else is doing. So, you know, our outside obligations were, you know, making sure we went to mass, making sure the kids were going to church school, making sure that if they wanted to go to youth group, they could. And then each successive child got to do their one activity. And sometimes they all decided they didn't want to do anything. As they get into high school, it's definitely more difficult. So therein lies another decision. You know, some people can do it all. They can make great grades and they can be in five different clubs and they can do all of these kinds of things. And that's wonderful. That's great. our family, I mean, the kids did wonderfully in school, but that was what we did. Academics was really important for us and being able to, you know, do well so that they could pay their way in college. But all three of them got wonderful scholarships, which helped us out immensely in college. We would not have been able to afford to send them because we had one. We have, I mean, now we have two, but we had one, you know, income that whole entire time. So part of their work, I mean, they knew that their job was school. That was their job. That was what God was asking them to do the time that they were in it. And so their job was to do as well as they could so that they could, you know, in turn, get scholarships to go to various schools.
What about weathering hard stuff?
Right. Okay. I can't imagine sending my kids to a school where they were gone from me 8 hours a day, because in high school, you, and I know y'all have had high schools and now college kids, y'all know hard conversations come in high school. And sometimes we had to have those conversations at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we would talk for an hour, or we talk for 2 hours. And I know that sounds crazy, but teenagers need that freedom to know that you're not going anywhere. And that was a beautiful thing about me being home, that they could. And they also like to talk at 11 o'clock at night too, because that's when they come alive, but that's when I'm going to sleep. And so that was difficult, but it's okay. I mean, high school is hard enough, and there's so many things that go on, especially nowadays in public high schools, well, in private too, I guess.
And groups and, you know, just they're, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we'd have to talk at 10 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'd need that time to get through everything so that my student could, you know, function to go to the next thing. Right. And the homeschooling allowed for that flexibility. So if we stayed up late that night talking, we wouldn't be getting up at 6:30 or 6 or 7, you know. Now, granted, the student, if the student had an 8 o'clock, then, you know, that student would need to be there at 8 o'clock. But the rest of us could sort of sleep in, you know, if we needed to. And if you're in a formal school format, you couldn't have done that. And there wouldn't be the time. I'm so glad that I learned who they were, or who they are. I lament the fact that, you know, my formation was different than theirs. And so I wanted to be there for them so that they could discuss hard things and I could be there for them and their dad, you know, as well. You know, years ago when one of my sons was having problems reading, you know, I'm like, if I had to homeschool just for him, that's why I did this. The other three never had problem. I mean, you know, you give them the phonics, you give them the reading, and they're like, oh yeah. And they read, but it didn't make sense to him. And we went for years without understanding, why is this so difficult? And then one year he was going into fourth grade or fifth grade, I guess. And I got this thing in the mail that was talking about a local reading program. And I'm like, wow, maybe he's got some reading issues. And so we did some testing on him. And sure enough, he's had dyslexia. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So then you feel terrible because you've been yelling at him that he needs to get his work done, you know. And, I mean, and God works in mysterious ways. And so that was really difficult. But we got the resources that he needed. And we actually, you know, we held him back a year so that he could strengthen his reading capabilities and his comprehension capabilities. And because I knew what was coming in the ninth grade, and I wouldn't have known that if I would not have had the other three knowing what I knew. And so I'm like, I don't want him to not do this stuff just because he's got this label on him. I'm like, he doesn't have a label. He is a smart, vibrant young person who has gifts that we don't have. And he brings these gifts to our family. And these three other siblings of his see these gifts that he has. I mean, he's wonderful at math. He draws well, he juggles, he does these things with his mind, you know, that the other three don't do. And so I didn't want that. I didn't want a label on him. So, and I knew he wanted to learn the same things they did, because they'll sit around and talk about, you know, Hamlet or whatnot, or, you know, Aeneas or Odysseus or whatnot. He's like, well, I want to do that too. Yeah. So we got him the resources that he needed. He was in classes for 4 or 5 years. And now, lo and behold, Colby has all these wonderful resources for all the kids that need it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful gift. And I'm so glad that Colby has that for families who need that, those resources.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I would say those were some, that's some hard stuff.
Sure. Yeah. you've mentioned along the way of this conversation how your homeschooling chapter is drawing to a close. Do you have more thoughts you want to offer on that?
Sure. It's bittersweet.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm tired. I'm tired. I mean, it's tired in a good way, but I'm tired just the same. The papers come all the time. And truthfully, by the time three of them got to their senior year, they didn't want me reading any of their papers anymore because they didn't feel like they needed the advice or the editing or the grammar or content or whatnot. And so I quit with them. So I'll be interested to see what my last student does, if he wants me to continue or if he wants me, you know, because he's like, Mom, I'm going to school, you know, I'm going to college soon, you know. So I don't know if I'll do it next year or not, but it's a wonderful opportunity to continue to teach and to, I mean, because truthfully, over the years, the amount of red on the paper dwindles, you know,
yeah.
because they just become better writers because Colby has them writing all the time. And, you know, the more you do it, the better. I mean, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? Or the squeaky grease gets whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The more you do it, the better you get at it. So the less editing I have to do. So that I will not be too sad to see that go.
Yeah. You okay with that? Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But yeah, it's a bittersweet kind of thing. I'm in total debt to those families who started it over 40 years ago. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to become an advisor, is to give back a little bit to the school that helped form my children. Because God love those people who can say, okay, I want this for grammar and this for literature and this for math. And I mean, so.
I'm right there with you on the all Colby. It's all put together. It's all integrated.
Right. And so, you know, they have a foundation in that. They have a foundation in what it means to be human. They have the philosophy. They have the virtue. They have logic. They have history. Like I said, they can think critically about the world around them. I see the end result. I see the overarching, you know, big plan of the education. And so, I don't doubt that May 2025 or August 2025, when my son does leave, there will be some tears, definitely.
Sure.
There were big, huge ones when my first one left
sure.
home.
Yeah.
That's a big transition because, you know, your family is different. It is not the same. And the children, you know, the other children there, they feel it. They might not necessarily be able to explain it with words, but they do feel that loss. They sense that absence of that other sibling. And so basically what you are, is you're moving into another chapter in your family life. And so I wanted to be able to have something to do that I could give back, could give my experience, could be busy. So I'm thinking probably that the transition to complete advisor role where I'm not a parent will be seamless now that I'm working on it now. That was one reason why I still wanted to sort of have my foot in both places. I wanted to have the parent hat and the advisor hat because I need time to adjust to the fact that it's just going to be my husband and me again, which is a little strange. I mean, yeah, I wanted it to be a good transition. It's a bittersweet time, and we'll get through it with God's help.
It's important to just be able to acknowledge that.
Just right.
Right there. Yeah.
Right. And being gentle with yourself, being gentle with myself. I wish I would have told myself that more when the first one left. That first year, his senior year. And I don't know if you felt like this with yours, Bonnie, but sleeping was really hard that year. I would get up in the middle of the night, you know, just, I don't know if it was worry or anxious, just, you know, that knowing that something's going to change, but you haven't experienced it yet. So you don't know what it's like. It's sort of like before the birth of your first child, you know, where you're where you're just, you can't sleep well and you can't get comfortable. Mm-hmm. Well, this is sort of the same way. You can't sleep well and you can't get comfortable and you don't really know why, but that's why. And so I have the experience now, and he only lives an hour away from me. So he comes home to eat every weekend, usually.
I like the analogy to the arrival of the first baby. Yeah, you have no idea. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you don't. And if your son is anything like mine, or all of them, really, they say, "Mom, I'll figure it out."
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yes, you
do.
Will. And
yeah.
they do. And maybe not the way I wanted them to do it, but that's part of my relinquishing of that. We can't be in control for the rest of their lives. It's not good for them. It's
right.
good for them to go off. It's good for them. They need to. And as hard as that is for us, it's important in your relationship with your spouse, and it's important with your relationship with that particular child. They need to know that you're there and praying for them, but not micromanaging everything. And so it's taken me a couple of kids to learn that too. So.
Well, I came to the point when mine were all little at once, I would very often find myself just not able to meet all the needs that were present, right, all at once. And so I would end up with this prayer, Lord, please make up the difference between what they need and what I can do. And
oh,
I think
that's
it's
beautiful.
Applicable to where, you know,
to college,
I mean, to all the stages
and young
and,
adulthood.
Yeah.
I agree. Sometimes I'll talk with parents who have very, very small children and they're like, oh, it's just going to be so much easier when they get older. And I look at them and I just say, it's all hard. It's just
ways,
a different kind of hard. Yeah.
And that's so difficult to conceptualize, to really kind of wrap your mind around when they're all little and we've all been
they're
up
on
since
top
5
of
in the
you.
Morning. And
right.
Yeah.
And you're nursing one and you're
right.
stirring something else for somebody else and something spills on the floor. I mean, it's a physical hard when they're little. It is a mental and emotional hard when they're older. And, it's all hard, but God is shaping you to be the parent that they need at all times, no matter any age that they are.
You mentioned how you enjoy visiting with new families, new to homeschooling, and those who are thinking about it. What advice do you like to give them, or what would you want to leave with them now?
Okay, my advice to a new Colby family, someone who's just new to homeschooling in general, is that you can do it. If God has put this on your heart to do, you can. And it's going to look different for you than it looks for everyone else, because God made you specifically and your family with the talents and strengths and weaknesses and idiosyncrasies that your family has. And so be not afraid. That's one thing. Be not afraid. God gives you those actual graces. I mean, you get the sanctifying graces from all of those sacraments. So avail yourself of them as frequently as you can. But those graces sometimes aren't going to come until right in the minute when you need them, while you're teaching how to diagram some ridiculous sentence with dangling participles and everything that, oh my goodness, you know. yes. And so remember, teacher manuals are your friends. They're very, very helpful. Inch by inch, everything's a cinch. And what I mean by that is, when you're in kindergarten, enjoy kindergarten, because your child's never going to be in kindergarten again. Everything is new and wonderful and innocent. Enjoy that year. That doesn't mean you can't be thinking about sixth grade. It just means that you've got to enjoy the moment that you have, because it's never going to come by again. You don't have to do everything in the curriculum every single year. There's a lot of recommendations we make, but you don't have to take them all. You are the driver of your child's education. That's the beauty of the principle of subsidiarity. You choose, and we're there to support you. Then I will leave you with these last 5 points. And the wonderful thing is that you have a hand and it has 5 fingers on it. So you can remember these. So the first one is prayer. You've got to be talking to the Lord. You got to have a running conversation with him all day long, every day, running dialogue. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do I help these children that you've given to me, that you've blessed me with? Prayer, first and foremost. Two, nutrition. You've got to be feeding your body, mind, and soul like you're feeding those children. You've got proteins, you've got fats. You need those things to be able to do the job that God has given you. You've got to get sleep. Third, time management. Your children need to see you figuring out how you do these things so that they can learn themselves. Okay, so prayer, nutrition, time management. Four, self-control. And I don't mean you as an adult. I'm talking about the student. If the student can't sit down and control himself enough to do the things he needs to do. Someone else is going to do it for him. Whether that's you, whether that's a judge, whether that's, you know, some other kind of teacher or whatnot. So self-control is an important thing as well. And the fifth one is organization, a place for everything and everything in its place. So much stress in my life has been caused by, we can't find where the such and such is. And so over years of time, we have learned, you know, systems for each person in the family about how to do it. Some people are better at it than others, but so prayer, nutrition, time management, self-control, and organization. And be not afraid. You can do this. You really, really can. And Colby's here to support all families.
I'm so grateful that you stepped from this role of parent into being an advisor, because you're there now. So somebody out there, like, if they're like, well, I think I need to modify in sixth grade, it's crazy, we need to do something.
Sure.
Will this destroy my child? And they can say, Elise, what should I do? And there's somebody who's been through it now that can, mm-hmm. there's always, I mean, you were speaking up before you were an advisor, but it's nice to have you as part of this team, both to speak to the parents and to speak to the school as well. You'll be there to help continue the great services that Colby's been providing, and make sure that we stay on track too. So this is
well, thank you very much.
Yep, you're living proof. It can be done well.
It can be done, and like I said, it's a privilege of a lifetime. I can't imagine my life if I wouldn't have been able to do this.
But to your point, like we may not realize heading in how we are going to be confronted with our own shortcomings, weaknesses, character flaws, things that we need to work on, how we ourselves are going to grow through this experience. We think we're doing it for our kids, but it's for us.
Part of me thinks I've learned more than they have. I mean, in some respects, yeah.
For sure. I've cooked up a whole list of relevant ColbyCast episodes, relevant to the things that have come up during our conversation. I'm going to post the links to those in our show notes. The question that Elise posed earlier, how do you decide which way to go? Online, homeschool, asynchronous, self-paced? So if you're up for that answer, send us an email, podcast@colby.org. You could do a voice memo on your phone and email that to us to the same address. You could comment on the social media posts to this episode. Let us know how you decided which way to make use of Colby's offerings at the course offerings for your students. Really appreciate, again, Elise, you stepping up to serve Colby in this way, sharing your experience with us all along the way, and we look forward to visiting with you again real soon.
Awesome. Thank you all so much. Y'all have a wonderful afternoon, and enjoy the eclipse.
Yeah, you too. You too.
Subscribe to the ColbyCast on your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss an episode. And let us know how we're doing by leaving a rating or a review. And as always, feel free to email us at podcast@colby.org.
Mary, our Mother, pray for us. St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Ignatius of Loyola, Holy Saints and Angels, pray for us. Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam.